Welcome to God Cares for You, a series of radio broadcasts featuring Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches the truth of the Word of God in a simple and understandable way that is easy to apply to your everyday life. Here's Pastor Rory Clark.
If you've been anything like I've been for most of my life, when you commit personal sins, you probably feel pretty bad. That is, if you have a conscience. All of us have a repetitive sin, something that is clearly against God's laws that we do over and over and over again, something we feel powerless to resist. And when we commit that sin one more time, we beat our breasts and ask ourselves, why? Have you ever committed a sin that offends you down to the very core of your being? One of those sins you swore you would never do, and then you did it? I have a friend who told me once, I would never buy sex from a prostitute, and shortly after that, it became his lifestyle. I have another friend that said, I would never get addicted to drugs. His nickname is now Junkie. He's addicted to drugs. Another friend who had bipolar disorder, also known as manic depressive illness, assured me that he would never commit suicide and then put a bullet in his own head a month later. I guess I better get some better friends. And again, if you're like me when you sin, and I guess as a pastor I shouldn't admit that I commit sins. After all pastors are supposed to be perfect up here on our pedestal. If you're like me, you go through a mental cycle of self-flagellation. You pull out your imaginary rubber hose and beat yourself, and then you lay in the middle of the floor in the fetal position with your thumb in your mouth, absolutely certain that you have disappointed God and that He will never forgive you. Well, I assure you, the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, definitely forgives you. And in fact, He did even more than that. And that's what you'll learn in this lesson from the book of Romans. So today's study, the Lord Jesus Christ released you from your responsibility for sin. So welcome to all believers in Christ. My prayer is that you know that you reside in the sphere of the Lord Jesus Christ's grace, and that as a result, you have His peace. The Lord Jesus Christ has nothing against you. The Lord is on your side, even when you make mistakes. Psalm 127, verse 2 reminds us, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for the Lord Jesus Christ gives to His divinely loved ones, even when they sleep. The Lord was hard at work on your behalf last night while you were dreaming. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're investigating a relationship or whether you're an atheist, I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ's attitude toward you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord Jesus Christ is not slow about His promise of salvation, as some accuse Him of, but is patient toward all mankind, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. A change of mind about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In this lesson, we continue our study of the book of Romans. We're in chapter 3, and we have turned our attention from the consequences of sin to the benefits of righteousness. The passage under study is the third section of the book of Romans, which extends from Romans chapter 3, verse 21, to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. So let's hear the first portion of this third passage. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to Romans chapter 3, verse 31. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness from God has been made clearly visible, being witnessed to by the Mosaic law and by the Old Testament prophets, even the righteousness of God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God the Father displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate the Father's righteousness, because in the forbearance of God the Father, He passed over the sins previously committed. Romans 3:26, why? For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:27. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans 3:29, or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Romans 3:30, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith, and who will justify the uncircumcised through faith, is one and the same God. Romans 3:31, do we then nullify the Mosaic law through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? May it never be. Absolutely no way. On the contrary, we establish the law. Well, we have turned our attention from sin to righteousness in our study of the book of Romans, and we need to do the same thing in our lives. We need to turn our attention away from sins for which we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have no more responsibility, and we need to turn our attention to the power of divine righteousness. Now, just because I said that you have no more responsibility for your sins, please don't be immature enough to think that that is your open invitation to go on a sin fest. It is not. It is your invitation to investigate what the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has selflessly done for you at the cross. At the moment of your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ imputed his own righteousness to you. At that moment, you move from being an unrighteous, ungodly sinner to being a righteous, godly saint. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, God the Father made the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in union with him. The righteousness given to us from God releases us from our responsibility for many things. Being released from responsibility means that when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we stopped depending on ourselves and we started depending totally on him. God does not expect us to live a sinless life. God expects us to live an obedient life. Yet if the tenets of the Mosaic law are deeply embedded in our hearts, perhaps through religion, and if we're committed to following the law, we will enjoy listening to false teachers who admonish us, encouraging us to follow the law and to clean up our own sin problem. Unfortunately, we have enough experience in life to know that we can't clean up anything. When the Lord Jesus Christ gives us his righteousness, in his eyes, we become perfect. Now, most of us as believers in Christ just can't relate to that. We reject perfection, especially in ourselves. Yet when God gives us his righteousness, that's exactly what he gives us, a share in his perfection. As believers in Christ, we reject the idea that we are perfect in God's eyes because we continue to sin after salvation. But think about it. What is the Lord Jesus Christ's attitude toward the believer in Christ who sins? For that matter, what is the Lord Jesus Christ's attitude toward the unbeliever who sins? His attitude toward both is the same. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the generosity of God the Father, became the only perfectly satisfactory payment acceptable in the eyes of God the Father for the sins of all creatures. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, a reference to believers in Christ, I, John, am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. God does not want you to sin. And if anyone sins, and of course everyone does, we have an advocate with God the Father, someone who comes powerfully to our assistance. Who? Jesus Christ, the only righteous one. 1 John 2:2, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only as believers in Christ, but also for the sins of the whole world, unbelievers as well. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took care of the sin problem. But isn't it better to do penance for your own sins? Won't God like you more if you do the work? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, in this sending of his Son is the demonstration of God the Father's unconditional love. Unconditional. No conditions. And not that we love the Father unconditionally, but that God the Father loved us unconditionally and sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. What does that mean? It means the only perfectly satisfactory payment. And for your sins, the only perfectly satisfactory payment is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you at the cross by shedding his blood and by bearing the wrath of God the Father that was directed at the sins of all creatures. Of course, if you want to cry and think that will purge your sins, please feel free. Look, in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, creatures' sins were simply covered. It was called atonement. There was a day of atonement once a year. In the New Testament, under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of his sacrifice at the cross, his propitiatory sacrifice, sin is obliterated. It is taken completely out of the way. You are no longer responsible for your sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is responsible for them. He paid for them at the cross, and now he is your advocate, seated at the right hand of his Father, and he is interceding on your behalf when you make mistakes. The Lord Jesus Christ cares for you, and he considers your problems to be his responsibility. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. When you were spiritually dead in your transgressions, back when you were a sinner, and when you were spiritually dead in the uncircumcision of your flesh, back when you were ungodly and unrighteous, God the Father made you alive together with the Lord Jesus Christ in union with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Colossians 2:14. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, that's the written code, the Mosaic law, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And God the Father has taken the Mosaic law out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Sin is no longer your responsibility. What words in the book of Romans let you know? They begin with, "But now." Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness from God has been made clearly visible, being witnessed to by the Mosaic law and sacrificial offerings, and being witnessed to by the Old Testament prophets in direct statements. That is such sweet music to the sinner's ears. But now, apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness from God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ has given sinners his righteousness and has made them saints, and that is totally satisfactory to God the Father. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6, in his days, a reference to the millennial reign of Christ, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. We must leave Romans chapter 3, verse 21 with a true understanding of it. From this pivotal and transitional verse, we must understand that the Mosaic law and divine righteousness are like the Hatfields and the McCoys, two families who hate each other. They are feuding, and they would never consider marrying each other. The law is one thing, and the righteousness from God is completely separate, but now apart from the law. Because the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a way out of our sin problem that does not require adherence to the Mosaic law, but now apart from the law, the believer in Christ is now free to admit that we put no trust in self. We put no trust in the flesh. We place our trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the object of our faith. He is the source of our hope. He is the reason for the unconditional love that we extend to all mankind. Our hope is in Christ alone. And if we're going to leave Romans chapter 3, verse 21 with an understanding of it, we must know this. There is a righteousness that comes from God, and there is a self-righteousness that comes from man. And the self-righteousness that comes from man does not cut it, cannot cut it, will not cut it. No, not, absolutely not, not ever. We cannot work our way into heaven. If we're going to leave Romans chapter 3, verse 21 with an understanding of it, we must know this. But now, apart from the law, through your faith in Christ, through your union with Christ, which happens to you at the moment of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the baptism of God the Holy Spirit, he did everything for you. There's no need for you as a believer in Christ to continue thinking you need to help Christ save you. Repeat after me, either to yourself or out loud. As a believer in Christ, I am not under the law. As a believer in Christ, I am dead to the law. As a believer in Christ, I am under grace. As a believer in Christ, I am alive to Christ. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, that's believers in Christ, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that we might bear fruit for God. The cross was a divorce for all creatures who express faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You are divorced from the law, and you are now married to Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You believers in Christ are not in the flesh, but you believers in Christ are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And it does. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in him, this person does not belong to Christ. If you belong to Christ, your problems are no longer your responsibility. They are Christ's responsibility. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time came, that is, at the right time, God the Father sent forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a woman and born under the Mosaic law, so that the Lord might redeem those from slavery who were under the Mosaic law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. Galatians 4, 6, because you are sons, God the Father has sent forth God the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, 7, therefore you, as a believer in Christ, are no longer a slave, but you are a son, a child of God. And if you are a son, and you are, then you are an heir through God the Father. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in union with Christ. You are a new creature, and you no longer stand in the shadow of the Mosaic law. The law is not hanging over your head, condemning you about your sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the Mosaic law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make perfect those who draw near. But the Lord Jesus Christ made you perfect by giving you his righteousness. So why so much focus on the law versus grace? Well, because God is not holding believers in Christ to the Mosaic law. God is not holding unbelievers to the Mosaic law. God knows that no creature is free from sin. God is holding every creature to God's righteousness, both angelic creatures and human creatures. And there is only one way to get God's righteousness, and that is as a free gift through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the focus is on this one verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness from God has been made clearly visible, being witnessed to by the Mosaic law in sacrificial offerings and being witnessed to by the Old Testament prophets in direct statements. Why so much focus on the law versus grace? Well, the whole court case of the creator-creature conflict hangs on this very idea. God is requiring divine righteousness from all creatures as the admission ticket to heaven. Angelic creatures without sin until unrighteousness was found in them. Human creatures have always been with sin because they were born in union with Adam. By fulfilling the Mosaic law perfectly during his time on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ proved that a creature without a sin nature, like the angelic creatures were, could be blameless in the matter of the Mosaic law. And for the New Testament believers, he made us blameless in the matter of the Mosaic law. So by going to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ provided the opportunity for salvation for those of us who were born in Adam. By simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given the free gift of righteousness. You will hear the angelic creature's plea, though, how can a loving God cast one of his creatures into the lake of fire? A better question is, how can a sinful creature turn down the free gift of the righteousness of God? The same God with unconditional love toward all creatures that will allow any creature, through his own free will, to reside in the lake of fire for all eternity, is the same God who offers reconciliation to all creatures. How can a sensible creature reject God's righteousness? Is it fair for God to give his righteousness to sinners? Only if sin is paid for. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid for the sin of all creatures at the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. As a result of the anguish of the Lord Jesus Christ's soul, God the Father will see it and be satisfied. That's propitiation. By his knowledge of the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as the Lord will bear their iniquities. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God the Father, having been put to death in the flesh, but having been made alive in the Spirit. So if you are righteous, you are joined to Christ and not to the law. Christ fulfilled the law perfectly. He sacrificed himself for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. Jesus Christ was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Jesus Christ, and by his scourging we were healed. And all of us like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. But God the Father has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on Jesus Christ. Well, here's Barah Ministry song worship leader June Murphy singing a song she wrote and produced that helps us put our sins in perspective by telling us God's attitude towards your sin.
Kept from heaven because of their sins. Salvation's door is open, whosoever can enter in. Christ died for the whole world. All you need is to believe. God wants none to perish. Your sins aren't a memory. He remembers to forget. He has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us. And yes, he remembers. He remembers. He remembers to forget. God is ever faithful. Our God cannot lie. When stumbling into sinfulness, we need not hide. God keeps his promises, all that he has made. Restoration is provided, and we can boldly say, he remembers to forget. He has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us. And yes, he remembers, he remembers, he remembers to forget. Sins won't be mentioned at the judgment seat of Christ, nor at the white throne judgment, where he'll open the book of life. Deeds will be evaluated to see if they're done in the light. No good deed of the unsaved gets them to heaven. The book. Our sins are cast from us, and yes, He remembers. He remembers. He remembers to forget.
That's right. He remembers to forget. Your sins are Christ's responsibility, not yours. And if you don't comprehend freedom, you'll think that God's grace gives you license to sin. It does not. And if you think that, you are lost. Your free will is what gives you license to sin. And if you use your free will and your freedom against yourself, welcome to immaturity. Isn't it time to give obedience to God a chance in our lives? What shall we believers in Christ say then, Romans 6:1? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be, Romans 6:2. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So stop worrying and start living.
You've been listening to Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches face-to-face lessons twice a week. For more information, especially on meeting locations, go to the Barah Ministries website at barahministries.com. That's B-A-R-A-H ministries.com. The God Cares For You radio broadcast can be heard every Sunday from 12 to 12:30 right here on KXDG 1280 on your AM radio dial.